to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And by the way, real quick, again, we are planning on having a men's meeting next week. The purpose of the men's meeting, first of all, it's not at all meant to exclude anyone. That's not the purpose of the meeting. The purpose of the meeting is to get together the men to encourage one another in fellowship and edification. And then, of course, obviously to talk about maybe some different things we can do for the ministry. So we'll put a vote whether we should hire Josh to be the church chef and then and the tablecloths and whatever. But we'll just talk about some different things for the ministry. We will talk about finances. Dan has been the treasurer for a while now, and he does the financial statement once a month anyway. So that is on the back table there, I think, once a month. And we'll talk about that. The books are always open. If anybody has questions about the finances of the church, then you can just email Dan and talk with him. And, of course, the way to help support the ministry, where is that little box? It was up here earlier, but I think it's in the back there now. Where, Mr. Treasurer, where is the box? Okay. Okay. All right. But if you would like to help support the ministry here, and we would certainly encourage you to do so, and Scripture encourages you to do so as well. But the way to do that is just to give a donation in the box back there. We don't pass a plate or anything. But all right, let's pick up this morning here, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. It is a day that we recognize mothers, and we're glad to do so. We want to, again, say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Just for a moment here, this is not the we're going to talk, do a special for Mother's Day this morning. But, you know, for every one of us here, every single one of us, there are three women, three mothers in the Bible that actually, or I should say three mothers that are the most important mothers in all of human history. Do you know who they are?
My mother.
Okay, that's one of them. John says, my mother. That's exactly right. So who are the other two? So your mother, your grandmother, well, okay. Your grandmother and her mother. Okay, so your mother is the first one that you absolutely want to make. You better get on the phone today, okay? Don't forget that call. I've done that before. It didn't go so good. All right. So absolutely, get on the phone today. Call your mom. And let her know how special she is to you. You know, tell her all those times that she gave you those spankings. Yep, I deserved every one of them and more. So, you know, your mom is of the three most important mothers in your history. Your mom is certainly one of them. Who else? Who are the other two?
Eve.
That's right. Eve is the first most important mother in human history. How come? Yeah, she started all those women, you know. So, and then who's the next one then? Mary is exactly right. Mary, the mother of baby Jesus. Mary, mother, the physical, you know, she's not the mother of God. I know there's people out there that say she's the mother of God. She's not the mother of God. But she is the vessel that was used by God to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, all right? So those three important women in your life, you know. And we do want to say thank you to the mothers here today. We do want to talk about Mother's Day. And the topic of this message is the impact of a godly mother, not just in your life, but really on society and on humanity, the impact of a godly mother. We're going to start here at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, 5, and it says this. 2 Timothy 1:5 says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois," there you go, John, the grandmother, right? "And thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Do put a marker in that verse, but also notice chapter 3. Notice chapter number 3 in verse 15, and make sure you make the connection here. And it says in chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." See that there? "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." And what are they able to do? Watch this. "Which are able to make thee wise unto" what? "Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We'll come back to that verse momentarily. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you again for the time that we can meet this morning. And especially we thank you, God, for all the godly mothers that are in our midst. And it is a day that we as a nation, of course, set aside and say thank you to our mothers. And in the world, they have a lot of different ways to say that. And we want to say from a spiritual standpoint that we're so grateful for our mothers, the godly mothers, who placed before us that guidance and that influence and those hours of prayer, that we would come to a knowledge of that salvation that the Scripture gives, that salvation which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you And as you say, we give honor to whom honor is due, and indeed today we give honor to our mothers. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it, but the fact that there are few roles that are more impactful and more critical to human existence than motherhood. You understand why? Yeah, exactly. Everybody got that point, right? I mean, it's so basic. And yet it is that critical. There are few roles in human history that either sexes of the human race has an impact on and is as critical to as motherhood. It's obvious that without mothers, you don't have anybody else. I mean, the species would cease to exist. Think about that. I know there's a lot of talking nowadays about, well, all this redefining marriage. They want to redefine motherhood. They want to say, well, you can have a family. You can raise a family if you're homosexual and you have a man and a man and a woman and a woman and you can raise kids and it's motherhood. It's impossible. It's impossible for a man with a man or a woman with a woman to produce a child. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible for the human race to perpetuate without a mother. Think about that, you know. So there are a few roles that are that critical and have that big of an impact on human existence than is the role of motherhood. But the fact is, any female of the human species potentially can be a mother because of biological and physical contact and so forth. You understand that? Any female of the human race potentially can be a mother. But we're talking about the influence of a godly mother. There are a lot of influences of an ungodly mother. If you want to see one, there's a lady in the Bible called Jezebel. Okay? And again, don't name your daughter Jezebel. Usually you want to give names to your children that are honoring. So Jezebel's not a good one. Okay? And she produced children, and her children just continued like her daddy. She learned it from her parents and so forth. But just continue to produce Baal worship and so forth. So there's plenty of influences of an ungodly mother. Well, we want to talk about the influence of a godly mother. Now, first of all, what would a godly mother be? What do we mean by that when we say a godly mother? What is essential, first of all, to be a godly mother? Yeah, first of all, you got to be a believer, okay? So it's impossible to be a godly mother if you as a mother are not a believer. And so as a believer, now you have Christ in you. Christ is your life, and you can allow Christ to be your life towards your children and so forth. And so we want to talk about the influence of a godly mother. And you can see, obviously, right from this passage here, look at 1 Timothy 1. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now, before we get to Timothy there, what was the pattern of duplication that you see in verse 5 between Lois and Eunice? What was the influence here? Lois is the grandmother. She came to faith before Eunice. So what did she do with her daughter? She taught her daughter. Isn't that fascinating? And then, of course, if you look over back to chapter number 3, look back at chapter number 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So somebody's teaching him. Now what's kind of potentially, what's interesting about this verse is that if faith dwelt first in the grandmother, Lois, and then in the mother, Eunice, and so forth, there's a pretty good indication here that Lois, the grandmother, had a pretty big impact on teaching Timothy. Because from a child, see that? So when John said a few minutes ago that the most important was his mother and his grandmother, amen to that. You know, that's so true. And so if you're a grandmother, or think about being a grandmother one day, or going to be a grandmother one day, remember, you still have the capability to have that impact and that influence on, you may give up on your kids, but not your grandkids, okay? So don't give up on your kids, you know. But you may have that tremendous opportunity there with them as well. So as a mother, you realize that motherhood is a choice. Right? Motherhood is a choice. Being a godly mother is also a choice. any female potentially can be a mother because of biological reasons. But what is it that just being a female and giving birth to a child, physical birth, what is it that you personally can't give to that child, no matter how hard you try? You can't give it to them.
Salvation.
Eternal life. See, there's one big problem that gets passed on to your child when you give birth and become a mother. What's the problem?
Sin.
That's right. Sin. And why is sin a problem? Because of death. The problem is not just sin, but the Bible says, you know this passage, look over to Romans 6 here. Look over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter number 6. And it says this, Romans 6 verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. You want to know why death keeps getting everybody? It's because, not because of tanks and guns and bullets and things like that. Why does death keep getting everybody? There's plenty of people that die. They didn't die on a plane. They didn't die because they got shot. They didn't die in battle. But why do they keep dying? Because of sin. That's what the Bible says. So part of the problem, you might say, part of the real impact of becoming a mother is that you're bringing physical life into existence. But the problem on the other side of that physical life that you brought into existence is the reality of sin and death. You brought somebody into the world. By the way, it's not all your fault. Okay? You didn't do it alone. All right? But you brought somebody into this world that was a sinner like you. You brought somebody into this world and their end, if they were just to continue on the path that they're on, so to speak, their end is going to be death. And in the Bible, that's death in the lake of fire. I was listening to a guy on the radio. There are so many kooks on the radio. This guy that is predicting that the world's going to end on May 21st. You know, this guy's just a nut. I've read his material and so forth. Somebody brought his little pamphlet a couple weeks ago to church and everything. I read that stuff. And you know, in that whole pamphlet, there's not one thing about the gospel. Here this guy's telling people the world's going to end on the 21st, the rapture's going to happen, and the whole world ends in November. And there was not one thing in this gospel about how telling people how to get saved. So you hear you're telling the world anyway, I'm trying to think how I got off on that. Okay? Oh, because there's so many kooks on the radio, that's why. Well, this other kook on the radio, quit listening to Christian radio, messes your mind up. This other kook on the radio says that, well, when you die, you're just dead. And that's it. Well, that isn't what the Bible says. And this was supposed to be a Christian guy. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that death is in the lake of fire forever, paying for your own sins, unless you have the solution. But think about it. As a mother, the joy that you have of bringing into existence a human life, but all of a sudden, if you realize what the Bible says is true, the absolute terror of realizing that that person dies without their sins to be forgiven, you will have brought somebody into human existence that's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, if you think about it that way, maybe you might think twice about having a child. Or maybe you'll think twice about doing something else with that child as you go forward. Think about that. Think about the heaviness on your heart if you realize I'm bringing this wonderful child in this world. But boy, if this person lives their life out and they die and they reject the Lord Jesus Christ and they die, that person that I contributed to bringing into this world, they're going to go into the next world, the lake of fire, forever. Forever paying for their own sins. This is pretty serious stuff, isn't it? This is not the message you wanted to hear on Mother's Day, right? We're talking about the influence of a godly mother. Any female of the human species can become a biological mother. Potentially. But now, you as a believer, you have the opportunity to do something so dramatic, so wonderful in the life of a human being. In fact, that human being that you gave, you know, helped bring into life, you have something, you have the opportunity to have such a tremendous impact on that person. And that is to change their eternal destiny. Their eternal destiny from hell to heaven. You see, when we talk about the issue, the influence and impact of a godly mother, come with me, if you would, over to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You have the great, tremendous privilege and opportunity. You already gave physical life to that human being, that child. Now you have the opportunity to labor together with God to give to that child the most important thing that anybody could ever come to in life, and that is spiritual life. Now, you can't give that to them. They have to believe. But you have the opportunity to nurture, to guide, to create that environment that facilitates them coming to understand faith in the blood of Christ, right? Watch this passage here. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to start at verse 4, and we're going to kind of jump around to a couple of verses here. He says this. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 says this. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. See what God did? People talk about the allowable will of God. God allowed the tornado. He allowed the earthquake. He allowed this. And you don't find any verses like that, but you do find a verse right there that tells you what God has allowed. That verse says that as we've been allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, God put us in trust with the message, with some information that can and will result in that child that you brought into life, that child passing from death unto real life. That verse says, for as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Jump ahead, if you would, to verse 7. Notice what he says here. But we were, what's the next word there? We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. The word nurse there is not word nurse in the sense if you go to school and become a nurse. That's nurse like a nursing mother. A mother that's breastfeeding the child just born. And she cherishes. See how it says there at the verse? Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her. This is a nursing mother. This is not an RN. This is not a medical professional. This is a nursing mother cherishing her children. And then it says this. So being affectionately desirous of you. Moms, can I ask you a question? Do those verses describe how you felt towards that child? You brought that child into physical existence. Not alone, I understand that, okay? But there was something special about that relationship between you and that child compared to dad and that child, you know? That child did not grow up inside of him. He grew up inside of you. And when you were there on that birthing table and so forth, turning purple and red and everything, and so much pain saying to your husband, I'm going to kill you because you did this to me! You know? No, and all of a sudden that baby is born, and now just thoughts of the love and the joy that overwhelm you, and the pain's gone, at least for a little while. I'm describing something I have no idea about, right? Right? Don't you know that? Ask your mom, okay? They'll tell you. But listen. Am I doing okay? Thank you. There you go. Amen. You know, at any rate, isn't it fair to say, it's accurate to say, that as a mom, as you're nursing that child, that you cherish, verse 8, affectionately desire. Moms, is that true? Does that accurately describe it? Not only that, verse 8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. That's amazing. It really isn't amazing because this is the Word of God. God knows the heart of a mother. But it's incredible how accurately the Word of God comes along and just lays out in such exact, detailed, heart-touching terms about how desperately in love, and I mean that in a positive way, a godly mom is to her child, affectionately desirous, willing to give, to impart her own soul. When you say about your mom, well, my mom was willing to do anything for me, that verse proves it. That's the truth there. She was willing to impart unto me her own soul because you were dear unto her. So we indeed say thank you to our moms that gave of their lives, that gave of their time, that sacrificed. you know, you think about... Let me say it this way. I don't have enough time. I have too much to say. But keep reading. Watch this. Look at verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. Now, this time it's what? As a father doth his children. It's not Father's Day, so we're not talking about the fathers. Okay. But my point is this. When you look at the passage, it's fascinating how the Word of God through the Apostle Paul comes and actually tells us how a mother and a father are to impact their children and indeed have an impact on them. It's been said, and it's true, that the father is to be the head, not just of the wife, but he's the head of the household. And that's true. But you know what the mother is? She's the heart. There's absolutely no doubt about in these passages. She's the heart of that household. She's the one that, I think, saved the kid's life many times when dad was to kill him, right? You know, she's when the child gets hurt and everything, it's who does the child go to? Who's the child go to? Don't tell dad, you know. You know, little child, little baby gets hurt, skins his knee up and everything. Who's the child? He doesn't go screaming for dad. What's dad going to do? Get out, kid. Kick him in the rear end. Come on, tough it out, kid. No. Who's the child go to? Child runs to mommy. Not because he's a wimp. Understand that? It's just so natural for that child when he's hurt and pain to run to mommy. How come? How come that is so? Dad has no sympathy, she says. Okay. Ooh, time for family counseling. You want to say more? Okay. Anything else here? So, anyway. Oh, he's leaving now. No. They've got a wonderful, wonderful family. So, but that's true. Dad, it's just dad's the head. He's just thinking logical, intellectual, and everything. Come on, no emotion, right? Dad deals with the threat. Mom deals with the hurt. That's good. It's just true. When the child gets hurt and everything, you go to mom. And that's not a bad thing. It's just it's a different thing. When you've got a home, a mom and a dad, a mother and a father and so forth, each bring different things to the household, but the mom truly is the heart of the household. And I know we joke about it, but yeah, the mom probably saved that kid's life a couple of times from dad, you know? And again, you see these verses here. She's gentle. She's affectionately desirous. She's willing to impart herself. And not just herself, but, and here's the most important, the gospel of God. You see, the big difference between just a mother out there and a godly mother understands that bringing a child into life physically is not the end of your job, and just raising that kid physically is not the end of your job. What is the most important thing that you as a mother can contribute to that human being, that child? What's the essential, the most vital thing you can ever give to that child? What is it? The gospel. You see that? If you look with me over to First, you already saw First Timothy, how Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice, they taught Timothy. But look with me over here to Second Timothy. Oh, no, First Timothy. I'm sorry, First Timothy. Watch this. Look over to First Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter number 5. Watch these verses here. 1 Timothy 5, the Apostle Paul says I'm going to start at verse 5, although I want to get down to verse 10 and also verse 13 and 14. But he says this at look at verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. And jump ahead to verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. He's talking about in the context here how the local assembly is to help and support and take care of the widows who are widows indeed. Okay, but I want you to notice verse 10. He's talking about this widow who is a widow indeed. Look at verse 10. Well reported of for good works. Look at the first one listed. What's it say there? If she have brought up children. Scripture says things like this. It says, if a man desire the office of a bishop. He desireth a good work. In the Word of God, only men, God says, only men are given the capacity to be in the bishop, in the bishop's office, teach and so forth, that type of thing. Sometimes, maybe a mother feels slighted. Maybe women feel slighted. Well, there's nothing for me to do in local assembly and so forth. But understand that that is just not true at all. There is so much of an impact that the women have on a local ministry and mothers. And in that verse right there, the first one on the list that God says, good works, if you desire a good work as a mother, what's the first one on the list? It's fascinating. It says, well reported of for good works, if she hath, notice, brought up children. Moms, can I say to you, is it that energy, that effort, that time, those hours, those tears, those prayers, those nights of no sleep, staying up to help them with their schoolwork or staying up when they were a little bitty and they were sick and didn't sleep and you got no sleep, that time, that energy, that effort that you put into bringing up that child, you know what? God says, the Word of God right there says, that's a good work. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes it's good to hear it, isn't it? Because sometimes maybe you go through your life and think, boy, is anything that I'm doing in my life, is it really making an impact? Does it make a difference? God right there says it does. When God evaluates the system, and He says it this way, well reported for good works if she have brought up children. Right at the top of the list here of good works is if you've brought up children. If you choose to be a mother, you don't have to be a mother because there's plenty of other good works you can do, right? But if you choose to be a mother, then one thing that you can do with your life that God says that's a good work is to bring up that child. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Stay in this same chapter. Look what He says at verse 14. Look what He says at verse 14. He says, I will therefore... He's talking about the younger women in this case. I will therefore that the younger women marry, watch this, bear children. That's interesting. Look at the next statement. Guide the house. Guide the house. Now think about that word there for a few minutes, the word guide. What's implied in the word guide? I couldn't hear, I'm sorry. I still couldn't hear. My problem. I could. Okay, good. What else? If you check the... Lead. Direction. Wisdom. Excellent. Course. See that? See, when you think about the word guide, you're going somewhere, right? The eunuch says to Stephen, Stephen says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he says, well, how can I except some man should guide me? See, Stephen knew where to take him. Good, I'm sorry, yeah, thank you, yeah, thanks, that's good. Anyway, but you remember the story, right? how can I accept some man should guide me? See, the idea of guide is that you're trying to go somewhere, but you know how to get there, which again means you're saved already, you know. So the idea of guide, she's going to guide the house. Isn't that incredible? So if you're going to guide the house, that means you've got to have you got to be saved. You got to know how to get to where you're guiding. Now, again, we're talking about the influence of a godly mother. Where are you going to guide the household to? I understand. You guide them to the sports games. I know that, the hockey games. And you guide them to the grocery store because you got. I understand that. But I'm not even spiritually. Guide us. Where are you guiding them? Where are you guiding the house to? And more specific. And that's true. But where to? What's that? The gospel, the cross. Listen, you're taking your children to the cross. That's where you're guiding them to. Why take them to the cross? Because that's where the answer is. That's where life can be found. Faith alone in the blood of Christ alone. That's the thing you got to instill in those children. That they're, listen, when I brought you into this world, they say, I brought you in, I can take you out. The problem is sin's going to take them out. Understand that? You don't even have to let mom or dad take them. Sin's going to take them out. And so as mom... You guide the home. You point the direction out to them. You guide them to where you've been and where you stay, and that's the cross. You say, here's the answer for life. Here's the answer for sin. Here's the payment for sin. Here's what life's about. Steve and I, we were riding in the car yesterday, coming back. We spent the day together riding and stuff like that. We, on the way back, and they were, you know, listening to Christian radio again, you know. Now, I don't know why I torture myself like that, but at any rate, so they were talking about, you know, they were talking about Mother's Day. And the lady that was on there, it was like an interview, whatever, and she made the comment that, well, you know, she was so grateful to her mother because her mother taught the children to love God. And Stephen asked the question. He said, you know, what does that mean? And not in the sense of, you know, not knowing what it means, but in the sense of, you know, there's so much Christian jargon out there that we just throw out there that, well, what does it mean? And when you teach your children to love God, what does that mean? What does it mean? Do you realize, first of all, you've got to know God in order to teach them to love God. And if you don't know the God of the Bible, then the God that you're teaching your children to love is not the true God. And the only way that you're going to know the God of the Bible is, first of all, by believing what the Bible says, but believing and trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know the God of the Bible. And now you can teach them how to love that God. And the only way how to love that God is to let that God's love love you. We love Him because He first loved us. See, one of the great things that we as moms and dads too, we've got to convey to our children that we didn't get saved by our own energy and effort. It wasn't by works of righteousness which we have done. And we cannot live this Christian life by our own works of righteousness. It's all of Christ. It's all by grace because of the blood of Christ. So moms, when you're seeking to guide that child, you're guiding them to the source of life. You take them to the cross and you say, stay here. That's the problem, isn't it? You know, you get little Johnny all dressed up for church and everything. Now just stay put. Don't go anywhere. You turn your back, she's off into the mud. You know, yeah. You guide them to the cross and say, stay right here. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Guide them to the cross and tell them, stay at the cross. That's where the source of life is. Now, what do you guide them with?
Kawasaki,
he says. You know, I was going to say, dads guide them with a boot and a whip, right? No, okay, no, that's not true, okay? We've got to quit picking on dads. Well, I can pick on Dad's Day because it's not Dad's Day, Father's Day. We'll say something good about dads on that day, right? But what do you guide them with, obviously? What do you guide them? Scripture is exactly right. It's exactly right. Scripture. That's exactly what they did here with Timothy. It says, and that from a child. Look back at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Back at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Watch this, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15 says this. And that from a child thou hast known the philosophies of man. And that from a child thou hast known, you know, human viewpoint. And from a child... No. What are you guiding with? Holy Scripture is exactly right. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. They better be holy or else abandon them. If they're not Holy Scripture, they're not Scripture at all. But because they are holy, look what they can do. Which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. When you became a mother, you brought that child into physical life. You gave birth in physical life. But that child, without the blood of Christ paying for their sins, when they grow up, if they die as an adult without all their sins forgiven, they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire paying for their own sins. So you want to become a laborer together with God in guiding that child to the cross. And you do it with the Scripture because the Scripture is able to make that child wise unto salvation. Salvation from what? It's everything. Salvation from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin. All those kinds of salvation. And you need all of them. But most important, salvation from the penalty of sin. Moms and dads. And potential moms here and potential dads here. Listen. There is no more important thing that you can ever give to your child, whether you have one or maybe in the future you're going to have one, or maybe you want someday to have a child, whatever. There is no more important thing that you can give to that child than a knowledge of salvation through faith alone in the blood of Christ alone. You might be able to teach that child how to run a business and be very successful financially. Sorry, guys. you might, you know, it doesn't be so good at that one, okay? We sang that song earlier about here, Lord, take my silver and gold, and Lord saying, you ain't got any, you know? The government's taking all that, you know? Listen, you might teach your children about business and economics and sports and whatever, and that's all fine. There's no problem. But listen, the most important thing to take and convey to your child is faith alone in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. What He did on the cross, because that's enough. It's enough for you. It's the answer. And then to live life by faith in the finished work of Christ. That's the influence of a godly mother. Look at Ephesians 6, if you would. Look at Ephesians 6. Look at this passage here. Look at this passage here. Ephesians 6, verse 2. Ephesians 6, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's the verse of the verses they're going to leave out of the Bible, you know. Okay. Anyway, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, look at the next verse. Honor thy father and... Scripture says that you are to give honor to whom honor is due. That verse says, honor thy father and thy mother. And I want to say to the rest of us here, that and to moms, but we say thank you to our moms and their godly influence in our lives. But when the Bible tells us, honor thy mother, I understand it says honor thy father and mother, but how do you honor your mother? Do you take them out for Mother's Day? Do that too, by the way. Okay? Make sure they have a good day. They shouldn't have to do the laundry today. They shouldn't have had to iron your shirt this morning, okay? They shouldn't have to cook, you know. I understand all that. But how do we truly honor our mothers? How do we? Okay, we tell them we love them. Wonderful. What'd you say? You know what? If the mom, if her job, one of her job, if she's to guide the home under the leadership of her husband, right? She guides the home. She's taken them to the cross. How come? Because mom and dad are at the cross, right? That's where they realize. That's the source of life. That's where we're to live. We've got to depend on God's grace and His Word. So you guide the child there. Then how does that child honor mother? By getting to the cross. By trusting the blood of Christ for your salvation. By passing from death unto life. By realizing the truth that even though my mom gave me physical life, my mom can't give me spiritual life, but she so affectionately desires of me, wanting to impart to me her own soul, that she wants me to get to the cross. She's giving up herself to make sure I get saved. Make sure I don't pass from this life without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the way that you honor your mother is not simply give her flowers. Give her flowers, okay? But listen, the world out there can take mom out to lunch, and they do. The world out there can send mom a thank you card. The world out there gives mom roses. But you know what? You die and go to hell. You haven't honored your mom, especially a godly mother, at all. Understand that? You did not honor her. She poured over you. She prayed over you. She labored over you, literally, right? But to get you to the cross, to get you to trust the blood of Christ alone for your salvation. So the way that you can say, Mom, thank you for your prayers for me. Thank you for those long nights where you worried about me. And maybe you couldn't sleep. Dad could or whatever, I don't know. But maybe you couldn't, and you wept over me and you prayed for me. Mom, thank you. Because I came to see that Christ is who I need. He's my life. So the way to honor mother is indeed to come to the cross, trusting Christ for your salvation. By the way, if your mom is not a believer, can you still honor mom? How? By you getting saved and then doing what? And then leading her to the cross. See that? If she's still here. Yeah, and that's the danger. That's how serious it is, right? You know? So, the number one way you can help mom is to get saved. Number two is to let Christ's Word dwell in you richly. Now, question. And I know we're out of time this morning. I'm going to make this quick. I'm going to make this brief. Is it required of you and me as believers to become husbands and wives? Is it required? No. So who chooses? Well, you and her. Okay? She's got to say yes, right? But if you choose to become parents, then how can you... I'm sorry, if you choose to become... to get married, can you honor your mother and your father in that? And if so, how? By once again, walking by faith in the instructions. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves. See that? You honor your mother and your father that way. As parents, and that's an important qualification to say nowadays, as parents, if you decide to have children, nowadays you get it all backwards, right? But as parents, if you decide to have children, can you even then honor your mother? How? What do you do with those children? The same thing that she did with you. Mom, how do I get him to the cross? Mom, I need your help. Help me get him to the cross. Help me take him to Calvary. Help me get these children to see and understand the finished work of Christ. Let's close with these verses here over in 1 Timothy 1 once again. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Let's close with this verse here. You see the tremendous pattern here in these two ladies, both of which were mothers and understood the impact that a godly mother could have. It says here at 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. If something is feigned, what does that mean? It's artificial, it's fake. So if it's unfeigned, what is it? It's genuine. So he says, which is in thee, but he says this, which dwelt first, in thy grandmother Lois. She became a believer first. That was, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong verse. 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5. But you can see that she had genuine faith in what she herself saw her need of a perfect Savior with a perfect salvation. She herself saw that. And then she no doubt talked to her daughter about it. And then either she or the daughter, or both together, and probably various combinations of all that, man, they talked to Timothy from a child. They read those scriptures to him. They pointed out the truth of God in His Word. And you can see here it says, dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Moms, we want to say to you, godly moms especially, but all moms, we want to say thank you for giving us life. Thank you physically for being the vessel in which, you know, we were able to enjoy this thing called life. And for those moms here this morning that know the Lord and know what a tremendous privilege and responsibility you have towards leading us to Calvary, thank you for the hours, the time, the prayer, the tears, the lack of sleep that you gave throughout your life to see to us that Dad didn't kill us and that God saved us. And we want to say thank you. And the way we want to say that to our moms is, moms, we want to allow God's Word to work in us so that that process, that sequence, Lois to Eunice to Timothy to another one to someone else, it got down to us, didn't it? We would like to be a part of that process to see that this thing perpetuates generation after generation until the Lord does come for us. So we say thank you to our dear moms. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we can take out of today and just say thank you for the way your Word has worked in the heart of these godly ladies here today, and in particular, godly mothers here today. We know that not everybody makes that decision, and that's okay. They're free to not make, and there's nothing wrong if they make a decision not to have children. But God, if they make the decision to have children, we thank you for those godly mothers who've realized that in the endeavors of life, and this is true of all of us, but in the endeavors of life, how we need to stay at the cross and realize that Christ is our life, not was our life or shall be our life, but He is now and forever our life, our resource to live unto you. We thank you for the finished work of Christ, His work on the cross of Calvary. In His name we do pray.